junction. You can't light a fire in Shabbos, you can't blow out a fire in Shabbos. Having said that, let's get to Shabbos class. Let's give a few backgrounds over here. Number one, Rav Moshe Feinstein said the Chassid of the Rebbe was against Shabbos class, period. Period. Just against the whole thing. Finish. But his view is not accepted. Rav Moshe himself said in Europe that you do this for lights, the lights are different, the minig is not that way. You love Shabbos on every conceivable appliance, air conditioning, and whatever else, the minig is that you make them. That's number one. Number two, this over here. Number one, Rav Moshe Feinstein said the Chassid of the Rebbe was against Shabbos class, period. Period. Just against the whole thing. Finish. But his view is not accepted. Rav Moshe himself said in Europe that you do this for lights, the lights are different, the minig is not that way. You must Shabbos on every conceivable appliance, air conditioning, and whatever else, the minig is that you make them. That's number one. Number two, the Sefer Shabbos, the whole series of tricks of moving Shabbos clocks on Shabbos, and according to the tradition which I have, I'm not sure if it's really true, where the Neubert Shalita went to the Gedol Yisrael, as I guess the first tradition, goes back now 30 years. He went to many Rabbis to get Haskamas. And the Haskamas are in fact printed in the beginning, Gedol Yisrael, and all places. Israel, and South America, and the tradition has it that this one godler refused to give Haskama. His name was Yaakov Kamenetsky. And the story has it that he didn't give Haskama to this business. We will discuss today at the Shabbos class. He couldn't, he just couldn't, didn't want to get involved in this kind of stories. Let's go. What are these stories anyway? So the Shabbos class, we assume that you're allowed to have a Shabbos class before Shabbos. That's assumed. Get their emotions home. The question is now, can you play around with it on Shabbos? Obviously, Rabbi Yaakov says, no, can't touch it on Shabbos. But the same issue for Shabbos, because they start to talk about whether you can or cannot move things around from the Shabbos back on Shabbos. This. Let's say the Shabbos was supposed to go off at midnight, and suddenly you wanted to go off at 1 o'clock in the morning. That's okay. All you do is extending the night, go on an extra hour, not a problem. Some argue fiercely. They say it's like if someone is pouring extra oil into a fire, which is a nisim and a Torah, you can't do that. We're assuming that a light, at least an incandescent bulb, is d'oraisa. That's what almost most everyone assumes. Also, in a Torah, which is mavi, you're making a fire. But if you're going to extend it for an extra hour, you have to be mamish putting an extra fuel. That some say. And others say, come on, no extra fuel. Just extend the present flame for an hour, and therefore it would be okay. But, says Rav Noach, if you wanted to go off at 11 o'clock instead of midnight, this you may not do, unless it's the Tzorah Godel. What's the Tzorah Godel? What's the difference between Tzorah Godel, not Tzorah Godel? The old story from last week. He called it Grumma. Did we discuss that last week? Am I right? I think so. Grumma means you. I think I discussed Godel, did I not? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You consider it to be Grumma. Grumma means you're doing something now, and of course it's going to happen later on. Now, here, instead of going off at midnight, it's going to go off at 11. So you're causing it to go out an hour earlier, but not now, it's 8, now it's 9. So it's considered to be in the category of Grumma. Remember last week we had a discussion, the Rav had a whole thing, I said about that one? The barrel with the fire?
Yes.
Right? I mentioned to you that the post can say when you open the refrigerator and the hot air comes in, it's considered to be, many posts consider it to be Grumma. And the quantity of Soloveitchik is the quantity of the Rav, but maybe it's not true. Maybe, I gave you the mushel, if I put barrels around the fire, that's called Grumma. So the fire goes, and then it hits the barrel. If I roll a barrel into the fire, even though I roll it, it takes 5 minutes to roll, get to the fire, that's not called Grumma. That's called I did it. It took a little while for the barrel to roll down there. That's prohibited. So according to the Rav, you open the refrigerator, the air starts coming in, immediately as soon as you start to open the door, then you can argue it's not considered to be Grumma, it's considered to be you're doing it. If you're not doing it right away, the air starts coming in, and then the Service starts going big, or small, whatever, big. He makes it expand a little bit, and it hits a certain point, and then the motor goes on. It may not be considered to be in the category of drum. But what about this one over here? When you make the Shabbos clock go off early, what is that? Is that like putting barrels around a fire? Or is that like rolling the barrels into the fire? That's a very tricky question to answer. I don't know myself what it's like, Frank. That's a very tricky business. Some say it's like rolling the barrel into the fire because the clock is ticking, it's moving, and you're gonna make it go off earlier. And others say no. If the clock is ticking, it's ticking straight. The clock ticks, goes around and around and around and around, and when it gets to a certain point, it's going to make the fire go off. So what are you doing? Well, so you move that little lever, and now you move from 12 to 11. So what are you doing? You're not making... What you're really doing is, you're moving the barrel closer. The shutoff lever is the barrel. It's the equivalent of the barrel that's going to put out the fire. What you've done is move the barrel from point 12 to point 11. You are the wind still blowing, that's the lever still turning. So there should be permissible, some argument. It may depend on what you do. If you move the face, a different kind of Shabbos clock. If you move the face an hour, then what have you done? Then you're moving you're participating in the extinguishing process. It takes an extra hour to get there. But if you're just moving a lever from 12 to 11, it could be a little bit better. Anyway, it's very confusing. I don't expect anyone to know the bottom line. I don't know the bottom line. It's a big machlokas in the poskim. Is it considered to be grummo or not to be grummo? And it may depend on the particular type of Shabbos clock which you have. Not only that, but today the most common kinds of Shabbos clocks are the ones which are Shlomo Zalman has an unreal cool over here. What happens, the way I have it, one works in my house. If you want to move it, you got to push the thing in to get it out of the, out of the set, and you press it in, then it gets loose, then you can move it. You can't move it when it's the way it is. It turns. You have to press it in, get it off the roll, whatever it is, and then you can push it this way or this way, and you let go. So if you want to move it from 12 to 1, in my opinion, it should be prohibited. I'll tell you why. You press it out of 12. Okay? The minute you press down at 12, if you leave your hand there all Shabbos, it would never go off. So the 12 o'clock would come, guess what? Bypass. It's off the ring. So you can't even let it go right, you can't let go. Even if it stays at 12. The minute you press it down, at that point the light is in the position to stay on the entire Shabbos. The minute you let go, it's gonna go off at 12. If you move it to 1, to 4 a.m., it's irrelevant. You can't let go at any time. So if Shlomo Zalman says, well, don't be so technical. You put it in, you take it out. Don't divide into two actions. Say it's all one big action. That's not so simple. That's not so simple at all. But he's going with the assumption that the worst case scenario is that grumma. That's the worst that could possibly be. And grumma, the Gemara says, is permissible. It's only a chumra that we have when Machmir, unless the Shas of Tzorah, unless the Shas of Chak, so Shlomo Zalman says, to keep my hand there the whole Shabbat, if the Shas of Chak, I would say, well, right, then to put yourself in the first place. Well, it's not so bad. That's to be obvious. But the way we said before, there's a possibility that you're worse than grub. Maybe you consider it to be really doing something. And I wouldn't take a chance with this business. So it seems to me that our kinds of Shabbat clocks are the most common these days. You press it down and you move it one way or the other, forget it. You can't touch it on Shabbat at all. By definition, you're doing something wrong. That's what I think. In my opinion, this whole discussion is really like an old kind of Shabbos clock. You put pins in and pins out, that kind of stuff. They don't make those things around here. I don't know if they do that. Paris Israel? They still have those? Yeah. They're not any different. I'll take a poll. How many people have those pin Shabbos clocks? Really? Wow! I don't know, it's flying. Oh wow, now we have to discuss it. I thought it was forget about it. Okay? Well, let's figure out ourselves. Let's figure it out. The clock is on to 12. The pin is 12, right? What? Let's say every hour has a pin. And you put a pin in and it goes off at that hour. It's a stick, a little peg. So the peg is on at 12. Now, if you want it to go on at 1, go off at 1, what do you do? So 1 can make the following argument. Put it, leave the 12 in, and put in 1. That's okay, because at that point it's going to go off at 12. Anyway, so what can I put in the 1? That action itself is completely permissible. Ah, now what do? Pull out the 12. Mm. You pull out the 12, it's also permissible. It's going longer. So with a little two-step, you end up permitting the thing to go off an hour later. To go off an hour earlier would be, again, at least grummer. But to put in the peg at 11, either that's considered either, we discussed that before, moving the barrel closer, or you can even argue it's considered you're rolling the barrel. So it's one of those demise, not to be anything to resolve. So it's also anyway, even if it's the more lenient view, it's also unless the shot of the sorrow I have said it says. That's the same thing with peg. But the one that I have, when you slide it along, even to make it later would be allowed, because you have to let go. Let go. It's in fact earlier than forever. Yes.
Why are you allowed to change the
force? Some says consider adding fuel to the fire. And most say it's not going to true, they're not adding fuel to the fire.
Why?
I'll tell you why. It's unlimited fuel. Fuel is unlimited. Con Edison is unlimited. Infinite. It's almost unlimited amount of fuel there. All you're doing is a turn-off switch. That's what they run out of fuel. It's a turn-off. So the turn-off is now extended from one to another. That's what that's considered. Never stop it early. To make it later, with pins, it's okay. If you put in a second pin and pull out the first. But with the sliding things, the way they have it these days, you can't do it because you have to let go. I don't like that. And moving the face, moving the dial, first of all, is worse. I understand that the dial only moves in one direction. Am I right? They only move to get off earlier. Right. You can't get it to make it off later by turning the dial up. I don't think so. I don't remember. So that's the story.
I didn't know anyone else
can
touch
that
clock on
time. Good for you. You're like a Bianca coming at you. Don't touch it. I agree. I don't think it should touch. That's all. Don't mess with it. Whatever it is. Finish. Okay, good. Very good. Now. Then he goes further than that, the Shmira Shabbos. He goes further than that. He says, what if right now the light is off? It's off right now. It's off. I didn't want to change it. Change the time. Lights over here in the safer. That's okay. But right now it's off. Nothing's happening. So even though you're laying around the shower clock, it's permissible. I don't like it. He says it's even to earlier. To go off earlier. Right now it's off. Let's go on at 6 and off at 12. You want to go off at 11. Now it's off. You can move it to 11. That's what he writes. Then he says it's on at 4. And you want it to adjust it now. It's going to go off at 6. And you want it to go on at 8 and off at 12. So you can also make it go off at 11. It's removed.
Even
earlier, but it's all removed. Understand why? But now it's off, but now it's on, it's going to go off again in the interim.
Yeah, but can you make it go on
earlier? On earlier?
It's
off
except for like
6 o'clock
and 5 o'clock.
Hold on. Yes. Yeah. He said like this. You make it go on, if it's on, now it's on. Now it's on. I go off and on again. I can make it go on again the second time earlier. So he writes. Don't do it. Don't do it.
You'll eat it.
Yes. Up now, and it's going to go on again and then off again. Like if they could go off the second time earlier. Like they go off early, because now right now I'm off asleep. It's very hard to understand all these things. Okay, next. What about electrical appliances in general? We discussed this. We assume that it's prohibited to be used, but we can't use them on Shabbos. But he passed it here. You're going to ask a guy to do it on Shabbos if it's for a important purpose. Basically, he's saying over here that an electric circuit is also when they're abundant. You have a rule called Shvus to Shvus for Mako Mitzvah. Then it's permissible to ask a guy to do it as a Rabbanah for a mitzvah, for a Tzorah. So for an electric fan, air conditioner, these kind of things. So you have a guy to do it, it's very hot to put it on. It happened a few, I think it was 2 years ago. Remember Shavuos at that time? Shavuos was 2 or 3 days. It was Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, and Monday. The daughter of Friday was freezing. And by the time I got to Sunday, I was boiling hot. Everyone's not going to get a guy in front of the air conditioner. The answer is yes, I didn't do it, but the answer is yes. For the sack of the Shemir Shabbos. The fan, you're permitted to put it on before Shabbos. You cannot change the power, you know, low, high, medium, but you can move it around. Go this way, blow on this one, blow on this one. Why not? Yeah. Why not? Not move, sir.
You mean... Like
yeah.
An oscillating fan.
Yeah, I can oscillate. This way, I don't think they're purely mechanical. The two buttons. Oscillate stays still. I don't think they're electrical. Yeah, okay.
No, it's just like you pick up a pen, right, and you put it in.
Right. No,
so you can change that also.
Makes sense.
And you can change low, medium, high.
No!
I thought that's what you said.
You cannot change low, medium, high. We'll get the book to next term. But, Mukta means something which you're not permitted to move because the use is prohibited on Shabbos. Yeah, it's permissible on Shabbos. You're allowed to move it, so you're allowed to feel it. You're allowed to turn it, and it's not Mukta. Both together. Okay.
Are you allowed to also
lift? On, yeah, it's on the bed. Sure. Okay. This is Perek Yud Gimel. What a Perek. Now Perek Yud Dal. We have to cover a lot today, so we have to go fix. Are you permitted to wash on Shabbos? So wash your body on Shabbos. Take a shower on Shabbos. So the answer is as follows. It's a minig not to take a shower, even a cold shower, even a cold nothing. Swimming, cold shower, cold bath. It's prohibited to be your minig. What's the minig? You may do schifa. When you wipe yourself off, you may actually squeeze the towel. That's a minute. But if you didn't, you're not permitted to take a hot shower on Shabbos. The reason is given because Zeres Havalonim, even if the water came from before Shabbos. You fill the bath before Shabbos, and it stays hot somehow. Or you leave the water running. We discussed that before, the famous leak. You leave the water running, so the hot water keeps running, and it keeps going out. And at 11 o'clock at night, you plug up the hole, and then you turn off the water, and you have a hot shower, hot bath. Well, now the hot shower runs straight. So it's prohibited in the Rabbonon, Xeris HaBalon. But I mean, Balon, the unscrupulous bathhouse attendants who would heat up water on Shabbos, and they claim they did it from before Shabbos. Put them out of business, they said, I don't care when you heat up this water, forget it. You cannot use it on Shabbos. That's a Zeres HaBalon. It's absolutely prohibited on Shabbos. Not allowed. Yomtov is a different story. We don't have the Yomtov right now. It's a very complicated story, but that's not going to happen. However, you may wash your hands and face in a limited time with hot water which is heated for 4 Shabbos. And admitting against that. It's only because it's one limited time. Then you're able to avoid sleeping. If you are what we call a mitzta'er or a choler, then it's permissible to even take a hot shower or a bath, as long as the water is heated up, of course, before Shabbos, or the water is put on before Shabbos. This is a xero with the Rabbana, as I told you before, and if someone is a choler, a makom tzar, they committed it. But not everybody should jump to the conclusion, I'm a choler, I'm tzar, you know, I can't stand it. That's not right. I mean, people can pull it out of it. You really are a chazer shal, you can talk to claim yourself a choler, to demonstrate it. Alright. Okay. Even you're washing your limbs, your hands, your face, you shouldn't use soap. You shouldn't use hard soap, you shouldn't use soft soap. It says on top. On the bottom, you have a long explanation why it should be permissible to use soft soap. So I think that it's permissible. But you really shouldn't use this. Just use liquid soap. If they have an Eretz Yisrael image, they have a liquid soap. All the reasons that they prohibit solid soap don't apply to liquid soap. I'm not sure what he means. I mean, sabon rock. He may mean not liquid. Rock may mean soft kind of soap. Like, you know, it's
sitting in water for 10 minutes.
Maybe that's what he means. But he writes over here, sabon nazil. What's nazil? Liquid is mutter to use. So you know, she probably means kind of soft soap. I'm not sure what that means exactly. The liquid soap is, I mean, forgive me if I tell it to you, but you could probably use a dishwashing soap. That's what's this, plain soap? So you want to wash your hands? You always wash your hands with dishwashing soap, do we not? So you want to wash your face with dishwashing soap? Be my guest. Huh? Smell like dishes maybe, but I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay. Now, if you wash your hands, or your hands, or other part of your body, you're permitted to wipe it with a towel. Even your hair, you may wipe with a towel, but you may not squeeze the hair. Not to get it dry, probably won't get dry. This is going to stay a little bit damp. Just over the breaks. You can move the towel on Shabbos after you use it, even though it's somewhat wet. We're not afraid that it comes to what we call sleep. You have to hope and pray that it won't come sleep. Very, 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 very wet. I don't know how you're going to do that. You should try to avoid getting too wet. Similarly, a paper towel you may use, even though it may actually rip in the middle of using it, sometimes it's a bad thing because you don't intend to rip it. And a handkerchief, a tissue I should say, even though it may rip as you're using it. But again, if you try to avoid complete skin, when you're going to pick it up, it's going to start dripping out. If you use a towel, it's not wet, you may not hang it up in a place which is normally used for drying laundry. You may hang it in the bathroom, in a regular place, but you always hang it in it. That's not a problem. What's going on over here? There's a Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin is a very broadly defined, this is Maris Ayin. This is Maris Ayin today. But this is really Maris Ayin. Today the rabbi had a special prohibition. You can't dry clothes for fear that someone will think that you washed them at Shabbos. And they were prohibited even b'chadrei chadorim, sanctum sanctorum, holy in the innermost chambers. Not allowed. Now a new idea. Yes.
We were taught once that you can't hang up your raincoats on the shower rack in the bathroom because that's where one normally would hang it when you come in from the rain.
Well, it's permissible. As long as the water comes in for the rain. If you would wash your raincoat in the washing machine and hang it up on the shower curtain,
right,
then you would not be allowed to do it coming in for the rain. But most people I know don't wash their raincoats at all. None of the raincoats are washable in the washing machine.
So that's
are
right.
They? Are they? Yes or no? They are?
I knew it sounds
good. So if it's not washable in the washing machine, then it's no scenario because it's obvious. Just hanging it up just to get the rain off.
There's no problem then.
In my opinion, it's the problem. We do it all the time. Yeah? The rabbis are afraid, one of two things. There's two ways of interpreting that. Either they're afraid someone's going to peek through anyway. You think no one's looking, right? You close one door and you close another door. But there's someone hiding under the bed. Right? That's one possibility. Or the rabbis made it an intrinsic prohibition. And even if no one's looking, guaranteed no one's looking, you know for sure no one's looking, tell us her anyway. One or two ways to explain a big difference between them, but we're not going to look at that. Whatever the rabbis prohibited, according to most authorities, that only applies to the specific prohibition, which is right over here. Hot, hanging, wet clothing out to dry. Other things which we prohibit because of marasayim, that's our own marasayim. That's the Gemara's marasayim, that is much more ground to be lenient to. It's Chai B'chador. Okay? Okay. Here's a new prohibition. People probably want to exist in that, but many folks are worried about it. Making a smooth surface. The marea. So, quoted over here that if you have a baby, and the baby needs a certain kind of a mishcha. Mishcha is usually defined as cream, correct? Cream. You should not smooth out a smooth surface of the body of the baby, or your own body for that matter, because it's called mimareya. Mimareya. Making a smooth surface. With application, that it'll be okay, as I said before. Just don't squeeze it, don't have anything which you can squeeze. Use your hand. Now, it was also permissible to put on a baby. Even though it's what we call refuah, we'll discuss refuah at great length in the next term. But for a tino, for a child, who is a young kid, is considered a chola, and therefore is permitted to put the talcum powder for the bed, diaper rash, all that stuff is okay. Yes?
Right.
No, that's okay. As a matter of fact, another way is to baby some of these creams, diaper rash cream. Simple. Just don't make a smooth surface. You take it out of the container, take it with your hand, throw it where it has to be thrown, roll with the diaper, and let nature take its course. That's okay. Yeah. It was pulled out.
Can it be enough
to take
sweets?
Pour it out. Pour it out.
So could you put lotion on
your
hand and not
rub
in?
Whoa. So, he has a, I don't know what this is called. B-I-C?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's supposed to be some kind of a liquid. You put on a person, so it shouldn't have the bugs come out at you. Bug repellent. Never heard of it. B-I-C. Never heard of it. I'll give you a question, Mr. Shum, a little bit later. You're also permitted to put perfume on your hands. But not on a handkerchief or on a garment that's called molded rea.
You can put on you, but
not on clothes. I should add, we'll discuss this in the next term in the second class, that too much perfume is absolutely inappropriate. I have to tell you one story.
No.
Oh, terrible. There's one story. We feel a lady in my shul, I do not know to this day who it is. Don't know because we have a good mechitza. I can't discuss that also next time when the mechitza goes out. Anyway, we'll discuss. So, I don't know what it is. I still don't know what it is. But I have to tell you one thing. When she was walking to shul, I would know about it. And I don't see anyone near the mechitza. I'm on the other side of the shul. It was like a bomb. Bomb. It happened Shabbos in, it happened Rosh Hashanah, it happened Yom Kippur. That really got me upset. Yom Kippur, I don't think you're allowed to do that. But Sifo, I made a comment to one of my shiurim, the ladies, I don't know this person, they all, some people started to chuckle. They don't know what it is. But please tell her that it's not appropriate at all. Never smelled it again. Now, one of two things happened. Probably she went to a different shul. Probably happened. Or she did shul. I don't know which one. But I still don't know. I don't know what it is. But it's just not appropriate. Okay. Not about this question. I never get to it later. About the lotion for the hands. You know, first of all, lotion for the hands is a problem of a poo in any event. Should really be avoided if at all possible. However, if you have to put lotion, we'll get to it next term. Refuah is put for cholera, shame, or sakana, if it's a very serious situation. But presumably it should be permissible if you don't try to make a smooth surface. Stick it on. I know some people have very bad hands, dishpan hands, winter hands, you know, depending on the winter time. The hands are really cracked. It's a terrible thing. What they can do is Sometimes when they go to sleep, they sometimes put something on their hands and they put a glove on top. And that'll be okay. You're not making this food, sir. You're sticking it on. I guess that's still that extra stuff on Shabbos. You're not making this food. You just dump it on. And then you come with the glove, and then while you're asleep, nature will take its course, whatever it looks like, it looks like. Because again, only for someone who's really bad shape. Yes? Nah, the glove is a very rough edgy. It's not jewelry. The glove is not so smooth, yes.
What about
on your lips? Yeah. Yeah. How do you call Vaseline in Hebrew?
Vaseline.
I think you talked about Vaseline somewhere. It was a word, but I know it's a word. Petroleum jelly, they call it. Have you heard that? Petroleum jelly. What was that called?
Can you say
jelly? Yeah. It's a word, but I know I've seen that expression here somewhere. I can't remember where it is.
Oh, yes.
I don't see it over here. My guess is it's better to avoid it if at all possible. If you have to put it on, I guess put it on and leave it there. Well, you really shouldn't do that. Let it. Yes? Your own hands? Is that considered medicinal? Is it considered therapeutic? Or just so if you sit in a refuah, you should try to avoid it unless you're really in bad shape. The refuah is prohibited. Forget everything else. That brings me to my next topic. Brushing your teeth. So many poskim aser brushing your teeth with a toothbrush, with a toothpaste rather, for a variety of reasons. Some say it's refuah. Some say it's changing state from the solid to a liquid, or semi-solid to a liquid. There are many reasons why the poskim prohibited. And I'm inclined to be prohibitive as well for the following reasons. No need for toothpaste. That's my dentist told me. The bluff. But you're permitted, if you wish, to brush your teeth on Shabbos without toothpaste. Even though it wasn't accustomed not to do that either. It's a custom probably born of laziness. You don't want to brush their teeth ever. But the mother forces them, the wife forces them, someone forces them. On Shabbos, they'd be frum. They play frum. I can't brush my teeth on Shabbos. Oh, but you shouldn't wet the toothbrush, though. That's a problem. You wet the toothbrush before you brush it. And you may be doing schita. Another reason why many people prefer it is because it's always going to dry toothbrush. With toothpaste. A, the problem of refuah, right? It's expensive to be supposedly to. And B, it's a potential problem of schita. Could be a smutzah. Could be. The schita in the mouth itself could be a smutzah. Like if you take a fruit and go in the mouth, could be okay. It could be no sort of. Not a food, not okay, whatever. It's just a dry toothbrush, yes? We said last week, did we not?
Yeah,
about the bristles just far apart?
Yeah,
so the question is about what your toothbrush looks like. Some of those toothbrushes are very, very thin bristles. It looks like it gets trapped between the bristles. At least it's a semblance of that. That's why I'm not so sure that that's able to do it, but it's not so simple. You can use mouthwash, though.
Why is that?
No, stop. To avoid the mouth odor. That's okay.
Why would that not
be good in refuah? No. It's refuah. It's done to avoid bad breath.
It is?
Remember those commercials? They don't have them anymore? You have bad breath. So they don't tell you it's healthy. They just say, you don't have that problem. All right. Shouldn't do exercise on Shabbos.
Okay.
Okay, next.
Why not?
That's a good question. Good question. Some say it's a part of a, is there a refuah? Refuah? No, I want to say it. Stretch? That's not exercise. But if it's like you're supposed to be healthy, it's considered to be an active refuah. Refuah is also on Shabbos. Unless someone is so sick, someone is so overweight, that if you don't exercise every single day, you'll die of a heart attack. Of course, you're allowed to do it. But now that I cut off your hair on Shabbos, that should be obvious to everybody. However, you're permitted to dab the hair. Even though maybe you pull out a hair like this, it doesn't make a difference.
What
are you talking about? Therefore, you're like my beard. You dab your hair like this. You know, this may pull out some hair, but it's not obvious it's going to happen, so therefore it is permissible. However, combing your hair, there's a different order completely. The Shulchan Aruch is absolutely livid against those who comb their hair on Shabbos. Let me give you some of the historical background of it. Unbelievable. The man who lived in the 15th century, I believe it was, who fell asleep, the 14th, who said it's permissible to comb hair on Shabbos. Even though it's what we call a segregation, you know what that means? We discussed that before. Combing hair is only wrong. What's wrong combing hair? It's inevitable to do what?
Pull it
out here. Because of segregation. Our segregation is prohibited. What we discussed last week. Segregation is a law nichale. The Aruch says segregation is a law nichale is permissible on Shabbos. So this rabbi got up and said, I follow the Aruch, and therefore you can comb the hair on Shabbos, even if the inevitable hair is going to come out. The segregation is a little nichle, I don't want the hair to come out. That's true, I'm not an expert in hairstyles, but apparently doesn't want the hair to come out. And therefore, it is permissible. That's what this man wrote. Came a man called the Rivosh. This man, I don't know who he is. One was he got such bizyoinus. The Rivosh gave him, well, it's printed in the Rivosh. You're a bum, he writes. I mean, that's what he writes. That's nice. It's much worse than that. You're a terrible person. How can you say such a thing? It's outrageous. Why? They quoted the Aruch. This is worse than the Aruch's case. I'll tell you why. And it's quoted Mishnah Berurah. In the Aruch's case, Tigresha is as follows. I'm doing action A, which inevitably leads to B. Sure. So therefore, it's a Tigresha. Lonichle, the Aruch said it's okay. But listen to me. I could have found a way to do action A. If there's some way to do action A, without it leading to B. I happen not to be doing it that way. I'm doing A in the way which it inevitably leads to B. But someone else could have done A a different way without it leading to B. Therefore, the Aruch permits segregation to lonely equally. But, says the Rivosh, a Yitzchak Ben Sheshet, one of the Gedolim of the community.
What?
Said like this, here it's absolutely impossible to comb to use a comb any which way without pulling out hair. This can't be done. So I coined the phrase the super segregation. This is a regular segregation. I'm doing it this way, I could have done it a different way. There's no other way in the world to comb the hair without the hair coming out. Super segregation. Super segregation, even the Aruch will agree that segregation is low nichle is prohibited. So reasons the Rivosh. There's a lot to tell you to explain why it's so. Logic behind the take it from me. We're not going to go into all the details. Just suffice to say, we call super segregation, even if it's low nichle, it is prohibited. And combing the hair with a regular comb is considered to be in this category. Apparently, for the reason is that given this hair, which has probably got some knots in it, and it's going to catch in the knot and pull it out, there's no way to do it otherwise. However, if you use a soft brush, to experiment. Don't trust anything from my description. You take an experiment from a four shops, you take the baby brush or some other very soft brush, and you try to comb your hair and see if any hair comes out. If absolutely nothing comes out, then you have defied integration. You have defied the odds. You have demonstrated it's possible to comb the hair on Shabbos or any time. To comb the hair and not have any hair come out. Brush the hair, I should say. Comb is probably impossible. But they have to come out. There's two kinds of combs. Each tooth is this far apart. That's not a comb that they were talking about. If each tooth is this far apart, I would have, it's like fingers. I wouldn't even call the comb to begin with. So you got an experiment. Experiment on Friday, on Tuesday. Go home now and experiment. And see if anything comes on the comb. If you see nothing on the comb, apparently you are able to do it without the problem of hair coming off, so it's not a segregation anymore.
So you could use a brush?
Either a brush or a wide tooth comb, whatever does not pull out hair. That's not going to get this straight. But you were warned in high school, don't you dare comb hair on Shabbos, Tosim and Atara. It's a terrible thing, it's an error. With an assumption of fact the assumption of fact is that it's inevitable that hair will come out. From what people told me, it all depends on the comb and on the brush and on the person. The length of the hair, the kind of the hair, is it thin, is it thick, is it long, is it short? I told you, I'm not an expert in these things, so you're a much bigger expert than myself. You experiment before Shabbos and you'll know for yourself what kind of hair you have, or what kind of brush, what kind of comb. And if the hair comes out, you're not using it on Shabbos. If no hair comes out, you're not using it on Shabbos. It's simple as all that. Yes?
But
you could
do that it's possible.
No, 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 no. I'll explain myself. The rebush meant it's impossible to comb the hair with this kind of comb, called combing. If you use a wide brush or a wide comb, that's not called combing, that's called taking your hand through it. So the action of what they call srika, nazir, it comes up to a nazir. Nazir also can't take his hair out. So nazir cannot be sorit. The assumption is that if you do srika, it's inevitably going to lead to taking the hair out. If you do that with a wide brush, a wide tooth comb, it's simply not called srika, it's called a different action, like dabbing it. But if you're combing it, when it's called combing a lot, it would be impossible for that hair coming out. That's the assumption. I say that, it should be open to the cold. But you have to make sure that you should try to make it better if it's special for Shabbos. That's not the main point. The main point is, it should not take the hairs out. Experiment. I'm asking you a question. Have you ever experimented? A little bit class here. Has anyone ever experimented before Shabbos with these kind of things? Anybody? Yes, what happened? Here it is. Okay. It depends. They have to, are you up different here? She has. Yes? Very good question. What if the hair fell out of the root? It's just sort of hanging in there in the hair and it comes out. That itself would not be a violation of Tolesh, but it's hard to know what's what. You see it on your brush, and the rabbi said it comes off, you have to assume it's where it's coming from. By the way, the PS, I always try to find some justification for every minute. That's what we hear a lot of tonight. I think it's prohibited, period. For those who do it, how can we say that there's such terrible people that have been doing it for centuries? Yeah, the rabbis have been screaming for centuries that they shouldn't do it, that apparently do it, don't listen to the rabbis for centuries. So I came up with an idea. So there's a sefer called the Egle Tal of Nezer, mentioned I think last week, which he writes, he thinks that if a hair is loose, see in your hair now, most of the hairs are loose, some of them, no, most of them are not loose, some of them are loose. And the ones that are loose, he claims, if you would pull that hair out on Shabbos, it would be a rabbinical prohibition, he claims. That's what he writes. So you take it, it's really tight, and you pull. That's what the Osama and Torah. Take it, something which is loose, it's really half out anyways. Just to pull it out, the last pull, he claims it's the Rabbanah. That's what he claims. On that basis, one could argue like this. We mentioned last week, I believe, that some say that sick ratio is put by the Rabbanah. That you're doing A, it leads to B, it's a rabbinical prohibition. Some claim it's permissible. The Shulchan Aruch is permissible. Put these two together, one could make an arguable case. Maybe that some those who do it have some leg to stand on. Although I should re-emphasize, if they have a leg to stand on, they shouldn't for a moment think that leg to stand on is the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Also, this took with Masik B'Shabbos." Period. She'ef shalol yaku asar. It's going to inevitably come out. But again, even though there was a makaber knew about segregation by the Rabbanim, people, I guess he held that one of two things, he's going to pull out even the tightly connected hairs, or he held that loosely connected hairs are ben Torah. So those who do it, there's some leg for them to stand on, like, again, I'm repeating it the fourth time, shouldn't do it, absolutely not allowed. Unless you can do an experiment before Shabbos with a soft brush or a very wide tooth comb, that doesn't pull hairs out at all, that of course could be allowed. But again, if you experiment with more than one, make sure it's not a freak. All right. That as far as the hair. Yes. Okay, that's called Davar She'eino Miskaven. You don't want to pull the hair out, and it's not inevitable the hair comes out. We discussed that with a great length. That's permissible. Davar She'eino Miskaven.
But what if
it's too hard? It's too hard.
So what if you have a type of like tick or rock, whatever, that you do the same thing that once in a while it comes out, so why is that?
Okay.
So once in a while it comes out, you okay?
Oh, just that it's every time it comes out of
rock. That's right.
It's an interesting child. I was told, I mean, I kid you not, he asked it in a completely different way, but I was told, I mean, it's a joke, but I was told it for real. Maybe you'll thought it was true or not. That there are specific situations in which there are certain individuals, young women, who wanted to make sure they looked just so. At a certain time, which happened to be Yom Tov, same as the Shabbos, and they wanted to know that they get someone from whom it's not Yom Tov, either a goy, maybe it's a straw, someone who's not Yom Tov, to comb the hair on Yom Tov. I was told that it was a real question. He asked in a different way. When a woman goes to mikveh, she's supposed to comb her hair. She forgot. Because she asked a goya to comb her hair. So he calls the marshal on the bottom, one of the goya folks from the turn of the century, from Galicia. He said, no, it's a Torah. And if it's a Torah, it's not the Minotaurah, he says, therefore, you're not allowed to even do it through a goy. Because he's telling you, you're not permitted to tell a goy to do something which is prohibited in Minotaurah. Now, we already pointed out before that it may be only the Rabbanim, according to the Abnei. But another point, you can't tell a goy to do something which is also Minotaurah. But the post can say, you can tell a goy to do action A, which will lead to B, even though it's a secretion. Because you're not telling the goy to do B, you're telling the goy to do A. That A leads to B, that's not so. For a Shabbos, it's a very delicate expression. Not only himona, it's proper to refrain from combing the shape one Shabbos the other. I don't know why. It's hard for me to understand why it is. I thought it should be mother.
No, why?
Why not?
Wasn't
it
originally the
index?
Why can't you pull out, like, why on a level
for
a person can't
you
pull out the hair?
What exactly? Well, goze, or tole.
Oh,
come on. Or the one that's throwing on Calvary's throat. You pull it out of your body. Yes.
There are lots of open
straight and closed here. Oh, no, no. So what do you do for that? You open the door. Voila! The light goes on. And now what? No, they better close the door. You can get open the door. Close the door. Open the door. Close the door. Ah, but I think you can tell the guy, you do me a favor, Mr. Guy. Can you please unscrew the bolt? What's the logic behind that? That's not a situation. That's overt. Yes.
Is there a lot of open
stairs
and closure?
Oh, no, no, no. So what do you do for that? You open the door. Voila! The light goes on. And now what? Tell the guy, close the door. You can get open the door. Close the door. Open the door. Close the door. Ah, but I think you can tell the guy, you do me a favor, Mr. Guy. Can you please unscrew the bolt? What's the logic behind that? That's not a situation, that's overt. But that's a derabbanan. Unscrew a bowl, we have to assume it's a derabbanan. It's a light to go on, it's a raisa, a light to go off, a derabbanan. The entry of the group we saw before. So there's another famous rule, we'll discuss it next term, called Shvus to Shvus to Mokka Mitzvah. Tell a guy to do something which is prohibited in the derabbanan, and it's for a mitzvah, so we pass it as mutter. So that's what you tell the guy to do. Open it up, which is the creation, which is mutter, and then unscrew the bowl, which is the derabbanan and mutter, all through a guy. That's what I tell people to do if they have a guy. If you don't have a guy, you're in big trouble. So you starve the whole Shabbos. The Shmir Shabbos is the following idea, interesting idea. Find a kid under bar mitzvah. Under bar mitzvah? What's going on here? Under bar mitzvah? Because in the Holy Torah, Lo saseh kol malacha. Ata nu ubincha bitecha. What is bincha bitecha? If they're 15 years old, they have their own obligation. What does bincha bitecha refer to? Nu? Under bar mitzvah. So what's he talking about to get a cut? That could be a Torah prohibition. So I think he means as follows. He means that you wait until the motor of the refrigerator is off. Listen carefully. The motor refrigerator is off. And then you ask the katan to pull the plug. So what do you do? Why can't I pull the plug? What's the big deal? You're not changing it well. Assuming nothing's happening right now. No fans, no nothing. The motor's off right now. The light's also off, the door's closed. So, bottom line, you can't do it. For whatever reason, you can't do it. Maybe it's called mukzah, maybe it's called this or that. But for the katan, not so bad. We should let the katan do it for us. That's what Shlomo Zalman recommends. But he does say, if the kind of a plug that never comes out, is there for indefinitely, then it's a problem. It's called bone and soster. That's what he writes in the Shmir Shabbos. Oops, other such things. Now, what if there's no cup? No kind of the bar mitzvah either. Then he said, this is the kind of a plug that you're pulling in and out on a regular basis. It's not considered to be mukta, it's not considered to be bone of the seltzer. Then you can pull it out yourself, what he calls bishinui, in abnormal fashion.
It's the plug of the refrigerator.
Right, the plug of the refrigerator.
Then everything will spoil. There's other stuff in
the refrigerator. No, so then if you leave the refrigerator closed, it'll probably take out bring it to your friend's refrigerator. Bring it to a neighbor's refrigerator. Yes? Exactly. That's the problem. I think most people who plug for the fridge station for years and on end. No one ever loses. So that may be considered vulnerable seltzer. That's what I think that's what Shlomo Zalman was worried about. I don't know. You can find a non-Jew, you're much better off. So just don't forget, that's all. What I do, we used to have, when I first got married, we used to have a light. That's how it came. The refrigerator came that way. And every Friday, to remember to turn it off. Well, once I remember some icicle formed in the back of the refrigerator. I don't know why. We opened the refrigerator, and the icicle fell down, and guess what? The bulb broke. Baruch Hashem. Now I don't have to worry about it. From then on, we just said, that's a good idea. You can live without the bowl, and that's a big problem, and let's do this way. Okay, this completes part one of this evening's shiur, which is the 10th parak of Shmir Shabbos Berachos concerning ice and refrigerators. If you have any questions, ask them now. We spoke about it at the beginning. The reason is because they were afraid that a little bit of the ice melted before you got a chance to sew it in. That's the reason. Yes? How? You take your hand and go like this. Why is it? It's the only corruption. When the Zalman claims the only prohibition is Mukta. And Mukta, Shafatak, Shinoi, it's a ground to be leaving. Your alarm clock goes off in the middle of the night. 1 o'clock in the morning, the alarm clock goes off. You'll be missing your entire night's sleep. It's not exactly the same. I'll tell you why. Because in the case of a Flamazon, when you're pulling out the plug, nothing's happening. Because everything's off anyway right now. The entire period is shut down. The motor's not going. Nothing's happening. There's only potential. When you pull it out, it's only a problem of books. If you look at them in funny ways, then there's room to be made for. Your alarm clock is much worse. The, when you pull it out, the motor which is going now, which is making the alarm clock make noise, is going to be summarily severed. That electric circuit. That's worse. You know what I tell you to do with that? Cover it with blankets. And so take all the blankets in front of the entire house, leave one for your bed, but everything else, put it in the pillows, blankets, clothes, put it all on top of it to sort of muffle the sound. Yes? That happened to me more than once. You know, now a lot of alarm clocks have, you know, when you, that's what we have, it's a clock radio, and if it's on alarm, it says alarm. You ever notice those things? And if it's not on alarm, it'll just say PM or AM, right? And when it's on, it'll say, right, AM alarm or PM alarm, right? All of a sudden, I'm going to sleep at midnight Friday night, and I say, oh, no. You know things go. You slide on top, you slide a little too far, you want to turn it off, so the hand flips one extra millimeter, boom, it's on. Oh, no, I have visions of getting up. Thankfully, I don't get up. It's not set for 1 o'clock in the morning. It's set for, let's say, 7 o'clock in the morning. But I want to be for 8. You know, Shana B'Shav is Tanakh. I want to have my one chance a week to sleep later than the alarm clock. What do I do now? That's what I do. I think it's permissible to turn the volume to zero. I can use another thing on that. If I turn the volume to zero, at the moment I'm turning the volume to zero, I didn't do anything. Because nothing is connected. Nothing's going to happen for another 7 hours. So when I turn the volume to zero, I'm not making any change right now. So that what happens is 7 hours later, when the alarm will go on, and the trigger the motor, and guess what? The light will go on, and you know, the light, the dial, you know, the head, the face glows. But that's it, you won't hear anything. That's permissible. Go by the alarm clock, I think it's permissible. I mean, not how feel it, it's just always the end, if you discover it on Shabbos. Yes?
Speaking of alarm clocks, there are these lines of alarm clocks that if you set it on Friday,
a very big question. We'll discuss it next term. Sorry. Okay, that question was part of the study. That's why I answered that question, because that really had to do with this. But your question, the general question, we'll see that out for later. Yes? Hot water on Shabbos. They are in violation of a Issa Min HaTorah of heating up cold water. It's called the Vashel. The Vashel is a Torah prohibition. Cold water, nothing's happening. A, it's a grubber, but B, as important, nothing's happening. Nothing's needing heated up. Okay. All right, we took care of all the questions. We now go to Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th Perek. The general matters of preparing food on Shabbos. Talks about salting foods in a kind of a pickling mode. It shouldn't be done. It's called ma'abe. You never do these things, I'm sure. I never heard of it. Just skipping most of this paragraph. I want to cover some ground. behind schedule a bit. Here's a very interesting question. This happens all the time. You have baked goods which have letters or pictures on them. Can you break the cake and by doing so in effect erase the letters on the cake? Says, most common is happy birthday, right? There's a big H, and I cut down the middle, and now instead of an H, I have a little one of these and one of these, but they're nowhere near each other anymore. So H is all of a shalom. All of ha shalom, H. So there's nothing left of the H. So I erased the H. May you do that on Shabbos or not? That's a very serious problem. Well, happy birthday. I mean, this is really serious. If you think it's thought of the 20th century bakers, think again. The Rambam speaks about this. The Rambam says that it is a problem. Should be avoided. You want to look it up? This is Simon Shin Mem. At the very, very end of the Bible, Mishavur. It goes to the very end. It's an ancient problem. Ramon says, also the Shaber Ugo, Shekosa Valel commit Osios. They had the Mamet birthday cakes in the 16th century. Often Ramon. Birthday cakes. A happy birthday. You cannot do it. Aval Pishan and the Skabi Raklachila, you know, he doesn't care. Davi Mochek, because you were erasing. And even though what? It's only Osim and the Rabbonon. And even though it's not Nochave. The Pesuk Reisha, and the Pesuk Reisha is also with the Rabbonon. And he says, and here, I would say the Pesuk Reisha is really no Nichole, right? Do you care what the letters are erased or not? I don't know. So, in fact, he quotes other authorities who maintain that it's permissible. It's permissible. The Pesuk Reisha is no Nichole by the Rabbonon. And he had in the bottom of the Shabbos. Okay. Well, the best thing to do, he says, is to cut, in effect, he doesn't say it explicitly, to cut between the letters. And the letter itself you break while you eat it. Put the whole H in your mouth. The whole H in the happy birthday, so you're only breaking up while you're eating it. That's a more lenient situation. Mr. Brewer writes. There's a very major issue here. We discussed before, one second. We discussed before Pesuk Reisha by the Rabbonim, some say it's okay. Pesuk Reisha by the Lo Nichole, some say it's okay. If you combine the two, Pesuk Reisha, the Lo Nichole, by the Rabbonim, then many authorities say, I would say most authorities say, permissible.
Combine
both leniencies. The Pesuk Reisha of Lo Nichole, and it's the Rabbonim. So that would seem, that should yield a lenient ruling over here when it comes to the cake. It's a Pesuk Reisha. You're going to tell you not to erase the letter. It's Lo Nichole, you don't care if the letter gets erased. And it's the Rabbonim because it's Mochek, Shalom, not Tishtov. It's only the Rabbonim. So what's the big deal over here? But in fact, some people are really lenient against the Rabbonim. So it's a big problem. Well, why it should be a prohibitive? But nevertheless, the mitigate against the Machmir, because you know, why not? You live without the cake. You live without the cup between the letters, that's all. But if you have a difficult situation, I would say that most posts are in fact lenient to the Pesuk Reisha, the Lo Nichole, by the Rabbonim. Remember that. It's a very important principle. Yes?
The leniency is that if you want to cut up the letters, you still have to cut in between the letters, you can't chop each in half.
That's when he's the Ramos, he should not chop from the eighth in here.
And so there's no opinion that says you could cut the letters straight through.
There is. The real quotes an opinion that you can cut the letters straight through. Why? Pesuk Reisha is the Lo Nichole by the Rabbonim. I assume that's the basis for it. See, hold on a second if I can find it. Double Nerevava said it's Hetzer Gomor. Hetzer Gomor. The daughter of Yehuda. Hetzer Gomor. Let's tell you the reason why. That's my reason for the reason why. So those who will lead the lead. There's another pshar which is made over here. That the poskim say, you have frumain crackers. No commercials here, but that's giving an example. There the letters are where? They're not on top. Where are they? They're in, well, a Hershey bar. I don't know, Hershey, that Hershey, big letters. You need a Hershey bar on Shabbos. So I tell you ideally, you know what you do? Take a bite, the H, the H and the E, to the E and the R. It's just, I mean, the best way to do it. But the minute is to be lenient. I mean, of course, if you're eating it, we eat it so when it comes to cake, the Mishnah Brewer is lenient. But let's say you're eating, you want to break it into two kids, you want to have each one's top half. You break it, you should break it between the letters. Let's say frumin, you can't break between the letters. Every letter's everywhere. Every turn is another letter. So the poskim say that it's not on top of the cookie, but it's in the cookie, embedded in the cookie, and there's more leniency. Again, this thing is based upon the original assumption that it's not a terrible prohibition in the first place. It should be permissible in the first place. They say, well, it isn't going to be strict when it comes to letters on top of the cake. It was in the cake, or in the cookie, or in the chocolate. There's more ground to be lenient. But I guess if you want to be a machmer, you can be a machmer there too. Again, this is a matter of a major dispute. Kind of other miscellanea concerning food, such as bonnet. You shouldn't build the structure with food. You shouldn't erase with respect to food, like the wrapping of the salami or the Jaffa orange. Slice down the word Jaffa. You can see the J and the A, you can cut them, as we said before, but that's not to erase the letter itself. Typical about making structures. Don't make the watermelon in a triangle form, which is also a specialized kind of a structure. The same thing applies to certain potatoes, certain, what sell it? Beets. Or pineapples, or butter, or margarine. Don't make your fancy shapes. Right. What? No. I mean, you want decoration. I don't mean you can't cut it down. I don't mean that triangle to slice. No. They have a decoration, the stick, you know, and that you shouldn't do on shop. Yes. What's the purpose of that? As long as you make it look good, you need right away. What is it? Need a triangle for?
No, I mean, he
doesn't agree. I mean, someone else said that. Yes? I don't think so. Melon scoop or melon ball, that's just the way to scoop it out.
But no, it's pretty.
Really?
Pretty.
Oh, pretty? Melon ball is so pretty. If you consider it pretty, maybe it's a problem. You're gonna make it a small thing for the kid to eat. That's not so pretty. Yes.
The way grandmother served it.
Oh, the way grandmother made it. That's very pretty.
So it's not bowling?
I don't think so. Yes?
Thank you.
bring it in next week. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what it means. Yes?
What if, like, on a cucumber, people like scrape it with a fork so they wear the fork?
Oh, yeah, that stuff. That's not bone, I don't think.
So what's bone?
Bone, you made something with a special shape. You scrape the size of the cucumber, it makes it look a little fancy. I don't think so. I'm not the bone of that. Okay. You'll not use a tube to have food come out of it. You know, they have an air control, they have margarine, these things come in, these kind of things. But you can't make a specialized shape, as we said before. Like he calls it Mizrak Katsefer. I think I mean whipped cream, no? Right? Yeah, whipped cream, they make a fancy color, you know, whipped cream, you know, shape. That should be, sure you can't write with the whipped cream on Shabbos. Sort of kind of things. Okay. I am going to skip an entire half a chapter here, which talks about Truma and Meiser on Shabbos. It's not that relevant to us here in America, but it can happen. But I don't want to go into it. It's very complicated. Think of the question we asked you privately, although it's very complex. The last part of the chapter is called, again, Dinin Shonin, respect to food. You should not measure food precisely on Shabbos. For it's a medida. Mode is prohibited. Says you may spread butter on a slice of bread. That's the Kiddush. There is a prohibition called Mimarea. The Marea means to make a smooth surface. It's possible here, Ein Miruach Ba'Ochlin. When it comes to food, there's no prohibition of smoothing out a surface. That's not made, that's not really a main defense. It should be a little smooth, but not so smooth. And then what's considered to be permissible for the sock. Butter bread. Similarly, there's no Easter of Svia of coloring when it comes to food. I'm sorry, I had a hand up. What's the question? Yeah, forbids me a lot of measure. There's no prohibition against coloring unless it's pure food coloring, which is intended only for coloring. Most coloring has a food content too. Then just one final note with relates to the meal. Don't make a napkin in a special shape. You know, if you have a bad napkin, they're all kind of funny shapes. They'll just stick a fork in, you know, they play around with it, or they make it look like all kind of other things, a bowl in. Bone it!
But it's so
tricky. Yeah.
What if you have
to
do it on Shabbos?
Yeah, that's okay. Just make it on Shabbos because it's better not to do. You're right, it's temporary. No mother bone. Okay, Perek Yud-Beis. We have a lot to do. This is discussing washing the dishes and cleaning the table on Shabbos. Well, you only should only wash dishes on Shabbos if you need them for Shabbos. You don't have to count out to the last book. But the chance you need it on Shabbos is okay. If you need it for Motzei Shabbos or for Sunday or for next Shabbos, you should not wash those dishes on Shabbos. Unless you're washing for a different reason. You're afraid of bugs. You're afraid to leave dirty silverware and dishes around that could attract bugs. You live in New York, you know the problem. So that's permissible for a different reason. Maybe you shouldn't really wash, you just soak it. People do this. They soak it in water, which will presumably prevent this from happening. The halal, the post will say it's permissible to soak dishes or silverware. If the alternative will be make things more difficult for you, either the silver can get ruined or tarnished, or the food can get adhered more strongly. Even if it's 10 extra hours, it will become adhered very tight, much more difficult to wash in a Motzei Shabbos. So the rule is, hachana, as I said to you before, is not a prohibition if it's going to prevent it from being ruined. We mentioned before about putting the soup back into the freezer. Here too, if you will not soak the silver, then it will either get tarnished and ruined, or it will adhere so hard you won't be able to get it off so easily anymore, Motzei Shabbos. And then you're permitted to just throw it into water, because you don't want to, your intention is not to start the washing process, you're intended to prevent a worse situation from evolving. Yes?
What if you're a
neat freak? You can't stand walking into the kitchen with dirty dishes. Well, in my house for many years, what we used to do is simply hide the dishes in the oven. You know they're there. So, because that's a husband hiding in the oven. So, like, where's the dishes? What dishes? Bars.
What if you have a lot of company Friday night and someone
just comes in
the oven?
Again, if you have no alternative and you just, Mamish can't stand it, just looks you and you say, it's a deep freak. Then the post can say, is ground to believe. But, I'll tell you what you should do if you're a deep freak. Simply buy yourself a dishwasher. Buy yourself a dishwasher, the post can say that instead of actually washing the dishes on Shabbos, which is much more serious, not actually the actual washing, what you can do is stick them in the dishwasher. I think even neat freaks, to the best of my knowledge, don't have, you know, if it's in the oven, they get some problems them psychologically, unless you tell me if I'm wrong. I think even these neat freaks have a better feeling if it's in the dishwasher. Am I correct? Go explain to you as to why it's in the dishwasher, it's in an oven. You can't see it either case. Well, you know it is. But you put the thugs in the back of their minds, it's outside chance. And it's not considered hachana when you put the dishwasher because you're just doing it primarily to get it out of sight. So we used to put our things into the oven. Since we bought a dishwasher, we put it into the dishwasher. Solves the problem. Hachana. It's not fun. You're not supposed to prepare on Shabbos for the next day or the next Shabbos. Yes? Yeah, because you don't want to leave the dirt on, because that's going to be a deep freak story. Just sort of put it, rinse it a little bit, just get rid of the... It depends how you use dishwashers. In our house, as long as there's no thick dirt, you just throw it into the dishwasher. It's better to do it that way. And then you're not on Shabbos, you wash the dishes. That's okay. Again, in theory, if it doesn't bother you at all having it fall in the sink, you really shouldn't do that either. But the average homemaker, especially if it's a dishwasher, doesn't want that dishes fall in the sink and shower. There's an alternative, But if there is one, it would be considered an appropriate one, would not be viewed in the category of hafun. All right? Now, can you use, if you want to wash dishes on Friday night for Shabbos, can you use soap? The post can say you can use liquid soap. Solid soap is a problem on a number of grounds. One, the possibility that you change the state from solid to liquid. Two, you're going to smooth out the surface of the soap. And a couple of potential problems. So therefore, we are taught to use liquid soap on Shabbos. Now, can't wash dishes with a cloth or with a sponge. Why? Schita. When you squeeze it out, it's an easier of schita. You shouldn't do that. However, there are certain things perhaps would be permissible. Let's say, for example, a bottle brush. Is it a bottle brush they use for baby bottles? So it's like bristles, each of which is included. We managed to discuss today, Perik Yud, Yud Aleph, and Yud Bey. I want to do Yud Gimel tonight also. I did not get there. Next week, which is the final shear of the term, I really wanted to get to, I wanted to do four. Laughing.